Hard to share with you. I don't know entirely why. But I know it's been a challenge to me. It's been something the Lord's had to help me with at different times. And I pray that it'll be a challenge and a help to us. I think it's probably something that to some extent every one of us will have to deal with. The thought that I'd like to consider by the Lord's help is the imagination. Remember, I believe it was Brother Larry used to say, that's the biggest nation that there is the imagination. It's a very, it's a very real thing. It's God-given, and it has its place, and it serves a very valuable purpose, the imagination. It is, I guess, just by definition, the act of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses. So something that I can't touch, that I can't see, that's not right in front of me, but yet my mind is able to produce an image. I'm able to imagine or to think what it might be, although I can't see it or touch it. It's the ability to connect the dots when maybe not all the information is there. But I'm able to surmise kind of what goes between the dots to produce an image or a picture. And again, that has its place. It's something that is, I believe, very active many times in children. And I believe it's an important part even of their development to be able to have an active imagination and many times play believe and things like that that children will play along. That their imagination is very vivid to them. It's not difficult for them to get in their bed and imagine that they're in a ship in the middle of the ocean and things like that, for example. But I don't believe that our imagination retires whenever we graduate. So, Mike, for us, by the Lord's help, to consider the influence that our imagination can have on us. Again, I want to just reiterate again, I believe that it has its place. I am thankful that there was a man who once imagined that we might be able to have light bulbs that don't require fuel or don't require replenishing a new candle. I'm thankful that there was somebody that was able to imagine that. Before it existed, it's easy for me to look at something that's been invented and think that's a great idea. But it's another thing of something that's not yet and to be able to imagine it. And so many inventors and the people that are creative have done, and I believe in a lot of instances we've benefited as a result of that. The ability to come up with a creative solution to a problem that hasn't been faced before or hasn't been addressed before. The imagination is key in that. But you know, everything that the Lord gives and everything that is of profit or of benefit to us, the devil likes to take advantage of as well. The devil likes to hijack our imagination and utilize it for his purposes. There is in recent times a real push to virtual reality. And some of this I'll not even be able to explain really because I don't really understand it. But in this virtual space, metaverse as it's called, there are what you might think of as online sandboxes or places that people can come and they can build, well, think of it in a, back from my childhood era, Legos. You could build a Lego house, but create it in this virtual environment that someone else can log into and they can walk around this little artificial land and look at this house that you've created. And I never quite understood the fascination with it. You know, there are a lot of people who are looking for an escape from reality. There, and that's one in, to some extent, entertainment provides people is an escape from reality. To be able to disconnect from the reality of my life and put myself in an imaginary environment. Well, it has become so popular of a thing that I read in the news not long ago that somebody designed and built a yacht in this metaverse, and they sold it for $650,000. Somebody paid that. Well, you might think for a yacht, maybe someone would pay that for a yacht. Keep in mind, this is a non-existent yacht, a virtual one. You can log on to your computer and walk around it and look at it, but that's all it is. The imagination. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord has something more for us than virtual, imaginary things to enjoy. You know, the life of a saint of God isn't to be one that's just looking for an escape or to create some other environment. We don't have to do that. This is not a way of positive thinking where we just create and stick our head in the sand and create a utopia around us that I can imagine. And people are thinking about that and talking about that in this metaverse, in this imaginary world that we can design and create cities, and we can have in those cities freedom from laws and freedom from police and freedom from all the things that we don't want in this virtual environment. You know, we don't have to create an imaginary world. The joy of the Lord enables us to enjoy the reality of life that He gives us. It's not that everything that comes our way is necessarily enjoyable, but the Lord enables us to deal with and work through and find right in the midst of it the joy of the Lord to be real and present. Have you ever seen people wearing these virtual reality glasses? I haven't worn them. Katrina, I think, put some on. Somebody had and experienced it. But I have seen people that have done this. And these glasses create a virtual reality in front of you. It casts an image in front of your eyes in these glasses of a simulated environment. And it responds to how you move and all of that and the direction you turn so that it's like it's creating an alternate world in front of you. Well, they have different uses for that, but you can pretend that you're on a roller coaster. And these glasses will create in front of your eyes the roller coaster like you're in a front row seat of the roller coaster, and you see it right before you, and it's so real, it's comical watching those that have the glasses on. Because I've seen backing up into the person that's observing, think, what's your problem? And screech for no reason seemingly and duck to avoid something, and it's nothing. There's nothing there. There's nothing to be afraid of. But it seems so real. It seems like it's right in front of me. It seems like I'm just about to go off this cliff or this track of the roller coaster or whatever it is. And it induces the same kind of feelings and the same kind of fears as if someone were really there. Now, I want us to realize that the devil tries to work the same way. The devil tries to present pictures before our mind that if we could see the reality of it, as God does, there's nothing to it. It's not there. It's an imaginary thing that the enemy is trying to bring up before my mind to bring fear as if it were real, as if it were really there. The scripture talks about in Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, it talks about the man whose God's curse is upon because of his disobedience. But he says, all is well. He fools himself. He creates an imaginary environment to say, I'm going to be all right. The scripture says also that the fool saith in his heart, there is no God. Well, I'd like to look at Psalms, the second chapter. Psalms chapter 2 in the first verse. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? To build up in their minds something that to them appears to be reality, whereas in God's sight there's nothing to it. So it is with what the scripture says, the people build unto themselves a refuge of lies, that they convince themselves in their mind, this is true, this is my defense, this is my bulwark. But there's nothing to it. And the time is coming, that the scripture says, that the Lord will sweep away that defense. It's artificial, it's not real. Romans, the first chapter, says of those who didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, it says that they became vain in their imaginations. They created, yep, you hear this these days, their own truth. Well, I'm following after my own truth. People don't want the truth. I want what I create for myself as my little virtual reality, as my little world, where they can be the gender that they choose, and they can identify how they would like, and they can create their own alternate reality. It's a vain imagination. It's a vain thing. There's no basis in truth. There's no basis in reality. You know, the Lord has called us to be children of the day and not children of the night. Yes, amen. To not walk after vain imaginations, to not chase after mirages, to not follow after things that there's really no substance to. Imagining a vain thing. But as I mentioned, the imagination can be so real. I don't know if yours is as active as mine is, or was. Dad will remember this. Remember a time when I was maybe 10 or so, invited a friend over from school. We decided we wanted to go camping down at the pond, which is a couple hundred yards maybe from the house. Seemed like a great idea when the sun was burning bright. We hooked up our little trailer behind the riding mower and took it down to the pond, and we enjoyed ourselves and had a great time. And then the sun set and the shadows started lengthening and it started getting dark, and we got distracted from the things, the game we were playing or whatever there, and started looking around as suddenly the woods around us looked different than they did before. And I began realizing how far the house was from where I was stationed. And the darker it got and the longer I looked, the more my mind began creating images of the things that were there in the shadows. Telling on myself, maybe as a child you weren't this foolish. But as I looked in the shadows and my imagination started running, I thought, that's a bobcat right there on that limb. I know it is. I know it is. And the longer I looked at it, the more it looked like a bobcat. And I started imagining the awful things that might befall us with help so far away. And the true size of a bobcat, not that I'd want to tangle with one anyway, but that didn't play into my mind. Our life is on the line here. I may not live to see another day. Just imagining the awfulness of it and thought, well, maybe we can try to run for it and escape this ferocious bobcat. No, sure as we do, he'll jump down out of the tree and be after us and pounce on it. And finally I said, I know what I'll do. I'm going to scream as loud as I can. So I let out a blood-curdling scream that wakened Dad from his sleep, and speaking of imagination, I think he imagined the worst. And so he wasted no time in getting down there to check on what had happened to us. And I suddenly felt foolish saying, "Dad, there's a bobcat in that tree over there." And he said, "Clint, come with me." And we walked over to the tree, and it was a bump on the limb. And suddenly it felt so foolish. There was nothing to it. It was created in my own mind. It was my imagination at work. But that's what an imagination does. It looks at the things that it can see, and it tries to connect the dots of the things that it can't see. You know, whether you're afraid of the dark or not, you know there are a lot of things in life that we can't see. There are a lot of things that aren't evident to us. And our imagination will very likely try to start supplying ideas of what goes in between there. You know, you don't know what that pain is. You ever have this one start working on you? But you know what? It could be this and this and this, and Google doesn't help. It could be that symptom, and maybe go ahead and call the family in. I mean, your imagination can begin working, and the devil loves, that's his playground. The devil loves to try to get in and work with something like that, to create an image where the more our minds dwell on it, the more we think about it, the more real it becomes to us, the bigger it looms in our mind. It can become to me as reality. Yes. I'd like for us to look at Mark, the 4th chapter. Mark chapter 4, and beginning in the 36th verse. "When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?'" You ever think about what was going on here? How long had they been with Jesus? Did they really think that Jesus didn't care about them? Had they been so short a time with him to think that he had no love and care for him? You know what begins to happen? Our imagination, fueled by the devil, will supply to our mind the dots that we can't see. "I don't know what's going on here. I don't know why this storm has suddenly blown up. I don't know why the master is asleep on the pillow. It's not making sense to me." And here comes the imagination. Here comes the suggestions. The thoughts of the enemy. "Well, you know, if the master cared about you, he wouldn't allow this." So the natural conclusion must be that he doesn't care about you. "Master, don't you care that we perish?" You know, the enemy will try to supply some of those same questions. Whenever storms come up in our life, whenever circumstances arise on the horizon that I can't see the whole picture. I don't know where this is going to lead. I don't know what this is going to look like. And here comes the imagination to kick in. It may be disastrous, or it may be small. But either way, the Lord is no less real. You know, the enemy, though, can make mountains out of molehills. I remember another time on my first professional job, I guess you'd call it, and I was working for this new manager and really wanted to make a good impression on him. Was hoping to be able to have a career with the company I'm employed with now. And this was my opportunity. I need to make a good impression. I want to do really well at this job. And so I gave it everything that I knew to do and was talking to my boss one day about a project that I'd been working on. And it had taken a little longer than I thought it would. And so I was explaining to him, Jim, I'm sorry, this probably shouldn't have taken this long. He said, no, it shouldn't have. And it kind of floored me, and I didn't say much else, went on about my way. But you know how things started eating on me? Yeah. To the point that over a course of a couple days, I was so distressed about it that I almost couldn't eat and sleep. And imagining now my job that I've wanted so much to do well at, it's going down in flames. He is evidently not impressed. He's not pleased with the job that I'm doing. What am I going to do? And on until I finally got to the point that I said, I cannot do this anymore. I'm going to go to him and talk to him. And so I went and I said, Jim, I got to talk to you. Well, Clint, what's going on? He said, I'm really concerned here that you're not satisfied with my job performance, and I want to know what I can do differently. He said, Clint, what are you talking about? I said, well, you said the other day, and I repeated back to him, and he kind of stopped and chuckled and said, Clint, that's not at all what I meant. The guy that was here before you that I had to let go was supposed to have gotten that done. And he didn't get it done. It was supposed to be done a long time ago. It shouldn't have taken this long, but you got it done. All that stress for nothing. And had I not talked with him, I don't know what I might have done. Walked out because it's going to happen anyway. It's better to quit than to be fired. But see, that's the way sometimes the imagination can work. So I want us to think now about how this could play out in our lives. It may or may not be about somebody that I work for. But you know, there is one that loves to sow discord among brethren. And you know, he'll do the same kind of thing. That comment that was said over there, I get to thinking about it. Well, I wonder if they didn't like, I wonder if they have a problem with, huh. Now, why would they say something like that? And the imagination starts to kick in. And there will be plenty of fuel for the fire. The devil will see to it. There will be plenty of ideas and suggestions and thoughts of why they said what they said. Of why that's playing out like it is. And again, the more the mind dwells on it, the more real it appears to me. Until it can be to the point that I am certain that's what it is. I know that's what it is. It's reality. This is the truth of what the problem is. But it may be no closer to the truth than a fairy tale. The Lord has called us to be children of the light, of the day, that we're not operating in shadows and suppositions, in theories, and ideas that have no basis in truth. But the Lord wants us, well, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Lord wants us to have a hold of something more sure. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul here speaking about they that run in a race. It says, so run that you may obtain, verse 24. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You know what it is to beat the air? It's to shadow box, is one way of looking at that or thinking of that. Shadow boxing, when an opponent's not even there. You know, the enemy would like to create virtual reality opponents in our life. I trust that you follow what I'm trying to bring out. Something that appears so real to me. It's that person. They're the problem here. That's the enemy. That's the thing that I'm fighting against. But we wrestle not with flesh and blood. There is a spiritual enemy. There is a spiritual force at work that likes to suggest and cast shadows and bring fear by things that we know one thing. The enemy is a liar. Even when the enemy speaks the truth, he's lying. Case in point, the scripture that he quoted to Jesus. We can't trust what the enemy might bring our way. So it's important for us to know, Lord, is this imagination? Lord, is this my thinking? Is this my thoughts here? Or is this your truth? What is the fruit that it's producing here in my mind? Is it sending me spiraling off in a path that is not wholesome? Does it send me off into a direction where my mind is in turmoil and just rolling? And or Lord, is this your work that you want me to be able to understand? I don't want to beat the air. I don't want to see something over here and get distracted and I expend my energy fighting at that thing and swatting that thing away and it's not even there. Lord, I want to be able to connect. I want to be able to land some blows against the enemy. I want to be able to know the things that I am spending and focusing my effort on is going to get me somewhere. That it's not just shadow boxing with this thing and that thing and these things of my imagination that come up before my mind. But Lord, give me discernment and understanding to be able to see where the enemy is really working. Amen. Familiar scripture now in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now this word imaginations here, it means reasonings. I don't think it's out of keeping with what we're talking about. Man has reasoned in their minds so many ways and so-called truths and things that to them seem so plausible and so logical. You know, Paul said, wasn't it Paul has said that we do not follow cunningly devised fables? What we have here is not just of man's interpretation, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have something more solid to stand on than a virtual reality, than something that I cast up in my mind. Oh, the scientific community has created so many reasonings and imaginations that they have built up as so plausible and so sound and so foolproof, but it has no basis in truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. If it's not founded on the eternal author of truth, it's a vain imagination. And the Lord said, the weapons of our warfare, in fighting this battle, they're mighty through God to pulling down those strongholds, to casting down those imaginations, those reasonings that the enemy would build up in my mind that I may not even realize are an imagination. That the Lord and the weapons that He equips us with are mighty to expose that, to bring that to light, to give us understanding of it. God's plan is evident in light. His plan is not that we react or act out of fear because of what we do not see. The Lord is not the author of confusion or uncertainty or question marks. The Lord would have us rather, I believe, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. What I do not see, I think of the song that says, God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Where I feel like I've got to connect all the dots. And I have to know. There's so much that I don't know here. And I need to know it. I need to know what's going to happen here. I need to know why that happened. And I need to know why this happened. There comes a point where I have to say, Lord, this is yours. Lord, I can't figure this out. And the Lord is able when there's something that I need to act on. When there's something that I need to do something about. The Lord can make it evident to us where it's unquestionable. And He does that not through darkness. He doesn't do it through the shadows where I'm trying to figure out in my own reasoning and my own understanding. Lean not unto your own understanding. Lord, I need your help. Lord, would you shine your light on this? I don't remember if Dad brought a flashlight or not, but when we got close enough to where enough light was cast on that, it dispelled it. And I knew there was nothing to fear. The Lord said that His Word is a lamp unto our feet. He wants to expose and to illuminate before us our path. Then we don't have to be like the wicked that know not at what they stumble, because their way is darkness. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Since we know and have discussed, there's a proper use of the imagination, and there is an improper one. Lord, help me to know the difference, and help me to have my mind submitted and consecrated so that you can use it for the proper use. You know a good use for it, I think? What will it be to be there? Yes. You know that song? Yes. I can remember at times in college, whenever I was in finals week, exam after exam after exam, and nearly sleepless nights, I can remember laying back on the floor in exasperation. In my mind, I'm hearing the graduation song. My imagination was thinking ahead. One of these days, if I don't give up, I'll hear that song. You know, there's a proper way for us to use our imagination. Oh, Lord, but I want it to be founded in a basis of truth. I believe there's a difference between faith and imagination. Because faith also has to do with things that we can't see right in front of us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But the basis of it is entirely different. It's founded on the eternal Word of God. It's what faith isn't about even imagining for what I want and saying, I know that's what it is. I know that's what God. But faith is being settled in knowing God's Word is true. God is true. God is there whether I see Him or not. Whether I see how this thing is going to turn out or not, I know. I know who holds tomorrow. And He's not surprised by tomorrow. He's not in crisis mode over tomorrow, because He's already there. He is the eternal God that inhabits eternity. He's already in our future. There's a song that says something about, I know sorrow nor trouble see today, nor will I borrow gloomy visions of the morrow. Oh, how many burdens we can try to bear up under because of what I don't know and what I don't understand and what I don't see. So I'd like to look at this recipe in Philippians 4 and 8. Let's start with 7th verse. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what is true? 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Folks, there's something true that we can think on. There's something true that our minds can dwell on. there's going to be a lot of variables in life, a lot of uncertainties, a lot of things that we don't understand. But rather than dwelling on that, I want to encourage us to think on those things that are true. To think on those things that have a basis and a foundation in God's Word. There are some things that we're not going to know. Those things that are too high for me, I think the Scripture said, those belong unto God. But there are some things revealed unto us through His Word that we can think on, that we can come back to when the shadows are before us. Lord, I need a light here. Lord, I need Your Word to expose, to illuminate. Lord, I can't even pick apart sometimes what is imagination and what is reality. It blurs together and it blends. And Lord, You see all these things. And He does. And He understands. And through His Word, He's able to illuminate and dispel the shadows and help us to begin seeing and understanding. So I want to encourage, the trust would be challenged today, that we harness our imagination in the right way. Yes. Knowing that the devil is going to try his best to take advantage of it and use it for his end, let's yield it into God's hands. Where the Lord, through the earnest of our inheritance, which is the Spirit, you know, it gives us a taste of something better. Think on these things. And when I start thinking and meditating and pondering on those, in my mind sometimes, like that graduation song, I start imagining, well, there's a lot I don't know about that too, but I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, oh Lord, what's it going to be when I see Your face? If I'll be true, if I'll be faithful. Lord, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I can imagine that it's going to be beyond what I could ask or think. Lord, I know that You're going to come through. I remember a time Katrina's mom was so sick. And she was in a real battle of her mind. She was very distressed because she kept having come to her mind thoughts about how it might end. And with the progression of the condition that she had, there was plenty of dark pictures of how she could go out of here. And it troubled her. It bothered her mind, and she wrestled with it. But I saw her come to a point that she committed it to the Lord. And she left that in the hands of the One that holds tomorrow. That's not a battle for me to fight today. Yes. And when it came time, the Lord had it in His hand. When it came time, the Lord, well, all along, the Lord had her in His hand. Yes. And it wouldn't have helped any in that intervening time. It wouldn't have helped any for her to dwell on and think and imagine that belonged to the Lord. And the Lord took care of that when that time came. It's safe for us to put our trust in the Lord, to know whatever I might see and whatever I might not see, it's all in God's hands. Those things that touch our lives that we don't see and understand altogether, trust the Lord. Those things where the devil would come along and try to bring dissension and sow discord and bring thoughts about my brother, or be careful. Yes. of the potential of the imagination and what it can produce and begin to work in our lives. May the Lord bless and encourage us each one. Appreciate your prayers for me. Amen.